everybody, even though we want to keep on listening to our beloved and now past David Bowie. But we got to move on, baby, because this is High Energy, the Empower Hour with Tracy Allman and yours truly, Dr. Lauren Schofield. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. And thanks so much for all the wonderful comments that Tracy and I did receive over the last week on our very first show last week. We were real excited, Tracy.
I was so excited when we left here last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was high energy. High energy.
It really was great. And if you are just tuning in and you're like wanting the Wellness 401 show, well, you have me, but you also have Tracy, and we're changing it to the Empower Hour. We did. And this is a high energy show delivering you information on healthcare's hottest topics with a twist to change your level of consciousness to a higher purpose of self in hopes that you create a shift in not only your life, but your relationships and also our community. So we're here to give you a little bit of our commentary as we've got Truth by Tracy and the Doctor's Corner coming with you all live here in the studio. So call 610-701-9243. Again, 701-9243. Tell us what you want to hear about. And also, come on the air and talk live. Let's bring this into the hearts and the souls and the community, and let's raise everybody up as we bring on another hot topic, man. This is hot. It doesn't get any hotter. And you know what we're calling this today? We're going to be helping our children with today's paddle, Tracy. Today's paddle. What do we mean by that, today's paddle?
Well, I think this topic, it came up last week after the show. We were discussing, you know, new things that are out there. And I guess I was talking to you about my own experiences with my children and how things are new in parenting. You know, I had my children a little bit later in life. And the discipline and the entitlement that goes along with parenting children today. And we are trying to bring the show with community. Building it in the community, and I think I see a lot of customers and clients in my business, and this subject does come up.
And it comes up, you know, children, the subject will come up as parents and parenting, but myself, I'm not a parent, but I am a professional, I am a community member, I am a teacher, and that brings me to the plate with an opinion. I don't need to be a parent, and I discussed that with you also last week, and even my own family sometimes kind of looks at me like, you know, I'm the little sister with the comment about a child, and who are you? Mm-hmm. You're not even a parent. But that's not the case, folks, particularly when we talk about our experiences that we've had just this past week alone, and also our own family experience, which I have had in regards to this millennial group. Folks, we're spanning from toddlers up until just graduated from college, and they have been coined now the entitled group, not so much the millennial group. And you know, it's time that parents, you know, you've got the hardest job out there. You've got the hardest job out there. And no one told you you had to do it. You signed up for it. So show up. That's what I'm saying today, Tracy.
Show up and be a parent.
And be a parent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard work. It's the hardest. And in every day, you have to be a parent. You don't get a weekend off. You don't get to sit on the couch after your, you know, 9-to-5 job, let's say. You have to be a parent 24/7, and it's hard. And no one said it was going to be easy, but you know, it's not a gift. It wasn't something that was just bestowed upon you because you wanted it. Because you wanted it, you need to be responsible. And I think first we should talk about parents being parents, not friends. Let's start there.
Yeah, definitely. I think my three motions that my husband and I have talked about that, and he took this terminology from school because he was a school teacher, is first is to be firm.
Firm. It's not easy.
You have to be firm. And then I think fun.
Okay. You going to come up with a third F for me?
Friendly.
Not a girl.
So So when you are teaching,
fun, friendly,
right? And I think firm is look, I'm a mom. I'm going to check things out. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to help parent you and guide you through what life is going to throw at you. And sometimes I think some of us think that our child will tell us more if we're more friendly with them. I think structure works. I think being firm and giving them that structure. And I think that's where my personal experience with being firm comes from a tough hand from my grandmother.
Yeah, and you know, I think before we get into some opinions and personal stories, which we do want to share with the listeners always on the Empower Hour, I think it's really important to not cop out, but to understand that the world has changed. The world's changed on so many levels that in the transition of the change, we've kind of created this generation of children that like missed the boat, so to speak, and they missed the boat because we missed the boat. The technology moved so fast, Tracy. Things just moved on, and all we were doing was wanting the best for our children. We wanted the best for the children. We unfortunately gave them everything they asked for. We unfortunately solved their problems. And in a world that they know it, that everybody is special, and everybody makes the team. And they're special, and they're going to get what they ask for. We set our children up for failure. That when they do they do experience their first disappointment, their first I didn't get an A. I may not be able to return to school. I may be kicked out of school because I thought, you know, I could do this. When they see that first disappointment or failure, we've given them no structure, as you said. We've given them no tools. Because that kind of tough love, where in the world as an adult we can't say no, has created this entitled culture. So I had to take a step back as an adult in the community, as a professional, and kind of look, well, it is a different world than when I grew up. And even though I have similar experiences, the tools to be able to solve them need to be different. They need to match the new world.
And I have to ask people what's acceptable now. I mean, seriously, I'm an older mom, okay, and I have to ask. I mean, I've talked to my son's teachers and guidance counselors, and I would say to them, I always come out, I'm like, look, I'm a kid from the 80s, so things were handled a lot differently back then. How do we handle this? And they come out of this approach. I don't know where it's come from. I don't know if there's, degree people, PhD people writing the rules, but it just seems like I get caught up because we want equality. I mean, there's definitely equality in that everybody has a place and a purpose. I certainly know that people have shown up to do their special gift. But when is there the fine line where everybody gets that same trophy, but yet there's ones that haven't done the work? I get hung up on that. And I mean, I said to my husband, took me to his son's baseball game, and I said, well, are they keeping score? No, everybody gets to go. It's like, what do you mean everybody gets to go? Everybody gets the bat? I mean, I don't, like, who's winning here? Nobody's winning. They don't keep score.
What inning are they in? Are we teaching them the rules of the game?
Well,
and there's rules to life.
That's why I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because there are older moms out there, and I just want to know what other people have to think and say about that. Is it helping or is it hurting?
Well, in this new world, coming from a non-parent point of view, but from an adult, and for one, well, as a doctor, I nurture people. I hear these problems. I got to work through a solution with them. And in a world that everything's kind of changed, there's still a sense of right and wrong. There has to be a sense of right and wrong. There has to be like an ethic or morals of what feels right. So, good thing for you to kind of say, hey, like, what are the rules now? I think what you want to know is the rules. What are the rules? Not so much you should feel what instinctively you should do is right. I still think people are allowed to have their opinions. They're allowed to parent as they see fit. As long as it's not doing harm to others, then why can't you parent as you want?
I just think using our logic and using what comes from the heart to parent is is how I do it. Logically, does this make sense? And when I went to a baseball game, I said to my husband, I said, well, this doesn't make sense to me.
And, it doesn't make sense.
I saw people looking around, and the one woman had said to me, yeah, I used to ask those same questions when I came. But I guess they want to give everybody a try so it encourages them to want to continue to play. Maybe in the past people gave up too easily, and with everybody, you know, not keeping score, and everybody gets to go, and everybody gets to be this, and everybody gets to be a catcher or a pitcher. I guess it creates in some way, shape, or form the ability that you have to try and not give up so easily.
Well,
but I found that they give up easily anyway.
It's not solving the give up problem. What it is solving is that there's a learning, there's a motor skill, you know, that goes on. And some kids naturally might be better at other positions than others. And so I get like move them around and, you know, let them all play. I mean, but there's a certain age and time that the rules are going to have to be set, and they're going to have to learn that, oh, that wasn't baseball I played last year. This year, I'm really playing the sport now, because last year was about this. So there needs to be some education, some understanding that, listen, you're learning skills of baseball, but you're not really playing
the game. Exactly. And you know what? It's exactly what my husband said. Same thing. We're teaching him the skills.
All right, Rocky.
Yeah. For me, I wanted the show to talk about more of that's happening. It's what I'm seeing. How can we empower?
Right.
How can we empower the child that it doesn't have to be, because my son notices it, and I work hard. I'm a good listener. How come I didn't clip up today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they create that competition. Did you know in school now they have this clip up chart?
Yeah.
If you keep fun and friends and safety, you get to clip up. And sometimes they'll say, well, I did all that today, and why didn't I clip up? Do you see? It's almost like it's teaching them that they have to do something to get something, than just not to just show up and who they are, their true authentic self. This is me. I am who I am. I don't have to do something special to get up a chart. But I guess it's just how they're controlling and teaching it today. So the rules have changed.
The rules have changed, everybody. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a short break, but come on back, because we're going to keep talking about this conversation, and we're not only bringing in the parenting, but parenting is all about our children. Let's face it. They need some guidance. So we're going to come up with the solutions too, folks. So you need to stay tuned to the Empower Hour. All right, we'll be right back.
There have been many famous partnerships through the years. Simon and Garfunkel, Martin and Lewis, Batman and Robin. Now WCHE adds its own dynamic duo.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lauren Schofield.
And I'm Tracy Ullman.
And we've decided to join forces for a new show right here on WCHE.
Called the Empower Hour Show, The Power of Now.
This high-energy show combines our medical and alternative backgrounds to provide you information to help create a more authentic you.
The goal here is to give our listeners a higher purpose through the latest on mind, body, and spirit.
Plus, we will sometimes take this show live on the road. We call it the Transformation Station. These live shows will give you a variety of information from local businesses and community leaders.
So tune in to the new Empower Hour show with me, Tracy Ullman.
And me, Dr. Lauren Schofield, Tuesdays from 3 to 4 p.m.
right here on WCHE 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County.
The names you want to hear from?
Chester County District Attorney Tom Hogan joins us.
The stories you care about.
The investigation focused on former Superintendent Richard Como.
This is the talk of Chester County, 1520 WCHE.
Everybody, welcome back to the Empower Hour with your host, Tracy Ullman, Dr. Lauren Schofield here. Call in 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. Today we are talking about empowering our children with today's paddles, so to speak. Tracy and I got together and we had personal family experiences this past week as well to kind of bring this millennial group, now we're calling them the entitled generation, up to the forefront. front. I feel as though from college graduates to toddlers, these children are meeting struggles that adults their age have never had. And I believe, because I think these adults are helping, they want to help these children. And as not only parents, but community members, we need to be able to bring back more personal contact to these children. We need to improve our involvement, and we need to teach our children by our own examples. And I think all of that is so hard with today's media, and we've been throttled to this problem very quickly. So now we're a generation that has an issue, and we are a community that sees a problem. And what Tracy and I want to do today is to come up. We've talked a little bit in the first quarter here about some of the problems in our own life, but we want to come up with solutions to our children, for example, saying, I want it now. I don't want to work for it. I want it because everyone else has it, and I want to expect somebody else to fix my problem.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And these aren't thoughts. These are actually flying out of their mouths. And Tracy, I have to say that in all our love and nurturing of children and giving, wanting them to have everything at their disposal has created some problems, and our children don't have responsibility for what they do. They don't know they're doing anything wrong. They don't have the tools because they weren't given it to fix it because mom and dad are fixing it for them. And they don't know how to get out of a disappointment or a problem or a failure. They just don't know how. So taking a step back, let's kind of look on what are some of these tools that we can help these kids with and you know, be able to drive this culture that has instant gratifications, whether it's the media, their internet. That we want to be able to say no coming from a parent, and this is why no. It's good that Johnny has that, but here you're not having it just because they have it. And these are the reasons why. We need to stand founded on our principles, and that comes back to our upbringing. And I think it's about our upbringing and bringing it into the new world, so to speak.
I think we just, you know, we're coming from a place now in time where there's two people bringing in an income. That's one of the problems that I have seen and why this has all started. And two, you know, coming from a society that is instant gratification, I think that even myself, I had struggled with that, with just, you know, before kids, just doing and buying whatever I see fit as long as I had the money to do it. And with disciplining children and building a stronger community, I believe that working with sticking to what it is that you truly set forth in your children and not wavering is that instant gratification where sometimes we're just too tired to fight the fight, you know. And when we were talking about paddling, I think for me as a child, when I see the two different generations now, I listened. If I knew that I was pushing it too far with my parents or my grandparents, I could see the switch in their face, and I knew that if I did it one more time, they were going to lay me out. I was just going to get flattened.
You had to back down.
I backed down. But today, because of that sense of entitlement and the instant gratification,
that I think where I fall for.
Yes, but energetically, I have an issue with, do I let them back down far enough that then it doesn't manifest to what it is that they want? You know, we talk about energetically. If you think about your thoughts long enough, you can manifest it. Well, if they keep saying, I want, and then it appears, it teaches them that the longer you stay on the straight and narrow and think about that, it will manifest into fruition. However, then it's also giving them that sense that I can have and do whatever I want because I asked for it. So there's like a fine line. between the two.
You said that very well. So yes, if they want. Well, the parents or adults aren't giving that child the tools for them to do the work to get what they want.
Right.
These adults are either giving it to them or they're doing it for them. Giving it to them or doing it for them. So it's good to be able to show a child that, you know, and explain, well, this is what mommy wants. Mommy wants to be able to do XYZ. And right now, mommy needs to go do the work to get that. If you show by example, you are empowering that child, whether you're a coach, a teacher, a parent, or a doctor.
And never backing down. You have to stick to what you say. If you say you're going to do it, it's that follow through.
Right.
Follow through work. So, that's where the firmness comes in.
So this whole social media, in a world where our children can click on something and see an adult act out inappropriately that harms others. Remember, this is all about doing a parenting job that you feel as though it's not going to do harm to others. We never want to do harm to others, no matter who you are. But these parents doing that, they're not setting an example for children, nor is a coach who headbutts a ref. I mean, these aren't setting good examples. And when our children see that, it's up to a parent to say, that is not good. That did not do this, and this is why. Set an example.
Yeah.
Give them a tool. Give them an alternative of what would have been a better option for that.
Yeah, it's teaching them, I think, that the problem solving. How do you solve this problem? But, you know, when we were kids, we were out all day.
Yeah.
You know, we were building forts. We were lighting fires. You know, we're rubbing sticks together. We're burning bugs with magnifying glasses.
Sometimes we weren't tearing our parents, but
right.
We were doing.
You know, you come home when the streetlights
right.
are on, and it
we're
was,
knocking down mailboxes.
It was a generation of problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted something, and you had to go out and do it.
Right.
And get it yourself.
You get a paper route to buy that car.
Exactly.
So you bring up a really great topic.
So because of that, I find myself, because I had to do everything for myself with not a lot of help from the folks, that then I see myself doing a little too much for my children. And it's my husband that has said, you do too much. You need to back down. We got a caller.
We have a caller without Fred. All right, hang in there, caller. We're going to get right to you. But it is true. It is really true. You know, you get worn down by this, I want. And sometimes our parents just want to give it to them to shut it up. Well, rather than that, I mean, do the work to build a creativity. I don't know how to pick up the phone.
Hang in there, caller. We lost
our
engineer.
All right, Jay's coming. We lost our engineer for just a moment. So how we can change all this is see the problem and teach people how to problem solve so that at this point, you need to look at yourself first and your family unit first. Did we lose them?
Yeah.
Okay, call on back. Yeah, sorry about that, folks. So, you know, you're getting yourself wear down. So one of the things that I feel is good is that we get our children to contribute in the household, right, Tracy?
Yes.
We get them to know how to do chores and this type of thing. So they need to know what it feels like to be a part of a group for the greater good, which is the house. What do we got? Well, hey, Hank. Are you on? Hey, Hank, you on?
Yeah, I hope I'm on.
How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks, Doc.
Happy New Year to you. I'm well.
Good. Hey, there's, you know, you touched on a note which invoked a memory. You know, I've been born and raised up here in Newtown Square all my life, Broomall, Newtown Square.
Right.
And something I've noticed, I'll say over the past 10 or 15 years in my own neighborhood, which I've lived in for just about as long as you've been on God's green earth.
Okay.
1940 to 71. Kids are walked to the... grade school.
Right.
One through sixth grade,
right.
I'll say. Grade school, as far as I'm concerned, are walked to the bus stop. One, you know, I see one kid in particular, I know he's in first grade, is, you know, I've known him all of his life, so to speak, is walked not even 75 yards, and his mother waits with him at the bus stop.
Right.
Well, I come home from the diner every morning, usually maybe around 8:30 or so, and I see a conglomeration of cars and adults and people waiting at the same corner.
That's right.
Can't get around.
Nope.
I mean, I almost had to go out of my way for fear of hitting, you know, negotiating between people and fear of a kid running out.
Right, right, right. It is scary.
Yeah, well, for me it is. It's extra concern. But my point is, I used to wait for at the very same bus stop, 5th grade and 12th grade. Now, this is October 31st, 1971 is the first day I stepped at that bus stop till June of 79. Never had a parent there. The closest we came to having a parent was one that was going off to work.
Right. Well, okay. I also have this thought, but I'm not a parent, and I think the laws have changed.
Right, I guess let me conclude with this.
Yes.
That was an oddity to me.
Okay.
I see these two kids in a neighborhood I perceive to be safe. I've been here all my life. That all the parents are babysitting their children at the bus stop. A buddy of mine came over during the Christmas holidays, 2-3 weeks ago. He has a 10-year-old son. Asked the guy, Mark, I see this example of kids waiting here at the stop sign, a block away. Why do the parents have to feel obliged to wait for them? The guy's my age. He's 55 as well, 2 weeks younger than I am. I said, Hank, if it were me, it wouldn't be that way. I would much rather just let my son go out. But his mother is afraid of the proverbial, creep around the corner.
So for what you found out from that one parent, it's not that the school wants a parent at the stop. It's more that we're coddling our kids too much, so to speak.
Doc, I'm not a parent neither, but there's no real need to be so stinking scared and coddle the kids so much, at least from my perspective. I could be as wrong as the day is long, but that's the way I see it, at least in my...
Well, yeah, I think you bring up a good point, and you know what? I'm going to have Tracy, who you don't know, Hank, give a few pointers here or some comments on that.
Well, Hank, I am a parent. I have two small children. My son does get on the bus, and there's two points. I do agree with the fear factor. There is, we come from a society. It just seems like there's more fear of the chances of, you know, your child getting taken, your child getting hit by a car, or there's a pedophile that lives in the area. How can we protect the children? As a parent, if your child is under the age of 10, and that keeps us there to the third grade, that you do have to have somebody accompanying him on and off the bus, and it is told to you at parent teachers night when you begin school. So we really don't have much of a choice but to do that. But I do agree with, you know, I walk to school 2 miles. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
that's a long walk.
It is. I mean, I did. I lived, you know, I'm from Allentown, and I walked pretty darn far. I mean, they literally bus, if you're under, I think it's a half a mile, they will bus you. Literally, 3 blocks down, you will get on the bus, and you will be, if there's no sidewalk, the community has to bus them. So I just think that there is, you know, it teaches us, that's why we're talking about this.
You know, yeah, it's you know, Hank, thanks so much for your call. We're going to let you buzz off. We appreciate the topic, because this is worth it. You got it, Hank. You know, it brings back in that we can still parent our children with our same values and the same ethics that our parents did, but we have to implement the new world. And the new world is the fear, Tracy.
And do you think
it is?
Because
it's a different world.
It is, because you think that it's just there's more news access. Like, if we just talk about bombing and,
absolutely,
you know, giving them the attention of who did it and who did the shooting. I just think that sometimes, yes, it's good to hear that news, but also too, are we sending the wrong message? Are we, you know, giving these people?
Are we giving our children fair?
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think we are.
I think we are.
Yeah.
So some of the things we'll talk about when we come back. We're going to take another quick break, but that is how I'm going to bring some of that in.
Good.
Without a doubt. All right, everybody, you're listening to the Power Hour. Stay with us. Hot Topic.
told me I should take caution when it comes to love. I did, and you were strong and I was not. My illusion, my mistake, I was careless, I forgot, I did.
Hi, everybody. We are the Empower Hour. Tracy Ullman and Dr. Lauren Scofield. Is that bringing you like a Debbie Downer or something?
I just put me in deep thought. Like,
yeah,
it's serious.
That's a powerful song. But
yeah, why did you pick that song
today? Because this is about adults rearing and raising children to be strong members of our community. Let's face it, they're going to be running our governments when we're older. They're going to be in charge of our economy, and I feel as though they are yet to be the smartest generation that we have seen of any of the generations before them, the smartest. But yet we have enabled them with no tools and no socialization because of the world they live in now. They're the first generation that's raised with technology, the World Wide Web, where they feel like they are a part of the world every minute of the day, Tracy. And what do we do with children like this that with that education, they will be the most intelligent generation we have, yet I feel as though the emotional intelligence is going to be the lowest. So we have to be able to teach them with tools. And I think part of what I'm going to handle in the doctor's corner, I think I'm going to talk a lot about this, is giving some solutions to who these millennial, this entitlement group is. And they're kind of getting a bad rap. I'm almost siding with them, Trace, in a way, mm-hmm. as I get used to what this is all about, because I feel like it's almost not their fault. I feel like we've done a good thing as parents in wanting to provide the most for them, as all parents do, but we haven't given them the tools to be able to live and thrive in society the best we could. So let's bring on Truth by Tracy, babe.
All right. So Truth by Tracy, because we are talking about children, in my line of work, some of you may or may not have heard of what's called the Crystal Children. And the Crystal Children are children that I have two of my own. They're obviously, what it means, crystal, is that they have this deep stare in their eyes. Normally, their eyes are a deep crystal blue, and they're highly, highly sensitive. They're very intelligent, and most would say that they were old souls. All right. So, truth of the matter is autism, ADD, ADHD is very prevalent in today's society. My own children, my own experience was with my son, and knowing that they're put these labels on children, I just wanted, the truth of it is we come from a society that labels everything. If we don't have an answer for it, well, we got to find something. This has got to be something.
It's got to be called something.
It's got to be called something instead of just, you know, being. And Doreen Virtue, who's a very prevalent in my genre of energy work, she has a PhD, and she writes a book on how to feed and care with the crystal children. And the truth is that no matter what child walks the earth, they're all our little teachers.
Yes, they are.
You know, they're little ascended masters. They're a little ancestors, and we can really learn from them. And the way that I parent, and some people might disagree, and this is the straight of the truth, is not that I ask them what they want, but I ask them in a way of, well, how would you like it to happen? If you were me and the roles were reversed, how do you see this? How would you handle this? And I got a really good lesson from my son. My daughter, who is 3 years younger than him, the one day he's drawing a picture, and she just comes right up as he's drawing the picture after he's done, just took it from him, stomped on it, ripped it up, and walked away. I was just kind of shocked. I'm like, wow, where did this behavior come from? I think she was like 2.5, 3.
Okay.
And she had been showing that, you know, you're pushing the ego, you know, I don't want you to draw right now. I'm just going to take this piece of paper from you, and I'm going to crumple it up and see what happens. See what kind of reaction am I going to get from mommy, because I was sitting at the table with my son. And I just said, Karina, why would you do something something like that.
Right.
And, you know, knowing my history with energy work and reading Doreen Virtue's book, I looked at my son who's got these beautiful blue eyes, and I just looked at him and I said, Mommy is just not doing a good job here, is she? You know, I reacted instead of responding. And he looked at me and he said, you know, Mommy, you discipline her, but you don't follow through. You tell her what she did wrong, but you don't correct the behavior. And I just looked at him and I said, is that what I do? I say, how could you do this? And I put her in timeout. That was naughty, but yet I don't follow through with the behavior. So I went in the kitchen and I cried a little bit. Here, my six-year-old son is teaching me how to parent her. Yeah. And I went back upstairs and I brought her back down and I said, Karina, it's not that you did something wrong. It was the behavior that was inappropriate. It is wrong in your behavior to rip up something that somebody just draw just to get a reaction out of them. And I liked that. I'm not disciplining the person and making her feel that she's a bad person because she did that, but it was the behavior. And he, as a crystal child, so if any of you ever wanted to know crystal children, you know, the first thing you'll notice about a crystal child is their eyes. They're penetrating, their eyes lock on to you, and they look real deep into your soul, and they're highly sensitive. You know that you have a crystal child is when you look into them, and you just can't lie to them. And it's really, these children are coming here on this earth now where they're very highly sensitive. They might be sensitive to the environment. They might be sensitive to sound. They might be sensitive to others. And I've learned techniques with my own son, like doing Velcro on the side of his desk so that if someone's acting up and they're screaming and they're carrying on, this is jazzing him up inside, and we put Velcro on the side of his desk so that he can feel that emotion in him. It can go somewhere instead of just sitting there. I used to chew the heck out of pen caps. I was sensitive in school. I would sit and my foot would go, and I would chew because I needed that stimulation from the jaw, you know, the motor stimulation.
There are these children just called something different, I think, in every generation. But I do agree that the world needs more of them. And I think that's why there are more of them today.
Yeah,
they're sent for a reason.
And I think they're sometimes misdiagnosed. You know, they have to that label of ADD.
We have to put a medicine inside of them. We have to put a prescription med down their throat to fix them, to make sure that they are different. And what would Thomas Edison do if, you know, we put prescription down his mouth? Right.
Well, and then too, I think fluorescent lighting has a lot to do with it, and that's another topic. But I think you should teach it in Greece. They teach their kids outside in daylight.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? No, I mean that's an incredible information coming from an experience with your own children, and I like it. And as a doctor, I know that I sometimes in a consultation, I'm like, well, what do you think's going on? I'll ask my patients. I'll sit back and I'll listen to them. They're living it. They're feeling it.
Yeah.
It's happening to them. Why wouldn't you want to listen to them? So listening to your children as a parent is often a wise thing to do.
And giving you the truth with this topic is I just think that we do have to look at parenting a little bit different, but not getting too far off from you know, generations before, you know?
Right and wrong.
Yeah. So that's the truth on crystal children. I do get that. What did they call in other generations? I mean, they'll say indigo or star or crystal, or they always have to give it a label. Old souls.
Definitely the one that is more common for us. Yeah. All right. We take another break, Fred? All right. We're taking a quick one here, folks, because we're coming back to the Doctor's Corner. Hang in there. It's the Empower Hour with Dr. Lauren and Tracy Ullman. Everybody. everybody. Welcome back to the Empower Hour. I'm Dr. Lauren Schofield in the house with co-host Tracy Ullman. Yes, that is my new theme song for the Doctor's Corner. But before I run into the Doctor's Corner, real quick, if you're just tuning in, please call at 610-701-9243. We are a live hour show now from on Tuesdays from 3 to 4. I said goodbye to the Wellness 401 show of 6 years. Moved Tracy on in here with me, and we're having a great time. I hope that you are enjoying the show. Each week we'll have a topic, a healthcare topic that we can share. So we hope to enlighten you, to be able to move you to a different vibration, a different place with your community, as well as, of course, your relationships in your life. And today we're talking about the millennial group, or some have now given it the entitlement group. And through some of my thought processes over the last couple of weeks, kind of brought me to the Doctor's Corner today, Tracy. And I had a little bit of episode with, you know, my own family with this type of group and how that they are, how they function in society after they've left home with everything that's going on. And it made me take a step back, Trace, and kind of look at this generation. And you don't have to know that this generation is different from those in the past. And it's not just different from what we have spoken about already, but they're different because they're special. Now, they've been taught this by the adults from an early age that they are very, very special. They've been given an unprecedented amount of attention, like Hank calling in saying we welcome to their bus stop, to everything they do. It's that they get the attention. They receive attention from us, and it makes them feel like they're very special. But you have to kind of help to teach your children that the adversity is inevitable in life, that these children don't know how to handle their failures as well as their successes. So you should invest time in your children. This is the solution on showing them how use tools to get out of failure. If the inevitability hasn't happened already, you need to prepare them as an adult. So another thing that they are is that they're sheltered. Most millennials have been protected from birth. The world has changed on them. It's changed on all of us. So we've been sheltering them from harm. So, by doing this, we've kept them more healthy, but we've also prevented them from experiencing, learning, and overcoming hard knocks of life. So remind these children that success is a long-term process. It's not something that you push and you get mail right away. The success takes time. It's an investment of hard work. So we have to teach them how to plan and enjoy these small successes as they move along the great journey to be able to get something in their lives. That they are confident, these children, but they want immediate gratification, and that is just not the reality of life. So this generation is also very team-oriented. It's the first generation that really is team-oriented because they're the most interconnected generation ever. The social networks and the World Wide Web have made a part of their daily lives. It's a part of them every single day, their existence. So this brings on short attention spans. These kids have short attention spans, like 10 seconds. You want to get your point across? You want them to learn something as a tool? I come up with a little new phrase here. You have to edutain. That's EDU-TAIN. You have to be entertaining, Tracy. You have to entertain your child while you are teaching them a tool in all about 10 seconds because they got a short attention span. They don't like something. It's at their fingertip to change it all day long. So who are you to come in as an adult, even if you're a parent, and be able to actually sink in something to them if you're not entertaining? So it's edutain. You like that?
I do.
All right. So, and they're also a very conventional, believe it or not, they embrace traditional values. They really, really do. Guess who is at fault here? The parents, the adults, they don't take advantage of it. They want to be with you. They want to. They want to socialize. They want to be with you. So embrace it. Spend time with them because they all do want it. And last but not least, which I know both of us have comments on this one, is they're very pressured. Very pressured. Competition is oppressive in school and at work. They feel the pressure to succeed more than any other generation before them. So I feel as adults, we did this to them. Believe it or not, I do believe that we are the seed to part of this generation, and the other part is obviously the changing world and the fear that we all underlining feel every day as a world. But never teaching them the tools on how of life and how to be able to protect themselves. Of course, when they are let go, they're very stressed all the time. So that means when you let go of them at school or you let go of them into college, they're constantly stressed. They don't know how to deal. They don't know how to cope because you're not there fixing the problems. You're not there giving them everything that they need. They don't know how to be able to work that out. So it's a very stressful word for them. But it's never too late, Tracy. That's what I want to leave with everybody. It's never too late to make a change in your own family, your own relationship, whether you're, divorced parenting. You know, you need to make a change to be one parent with your children. It gets out of the I want, and the best friend, and who's going to do up the best friend as two separate parents. You can't do that. You still have to be one parent in a separate world if that is the case in your life. And it's also the case whether you're a teacher or an adult in society. So I feel as though it's just never too late to cut the umbilical cord today. Today. You know, it's the school of hard knocks. It's just a different school, but it's still a school of hard knocks. All right? We have to parent our kids. There you go. That's it. What do you got to say?
What do I want to say? I think the edutain I'm a parent. That's exactly what we have to do. Or what I could choose to do. There's some times where I don't choose to entertain. This is how it is, and I serve it up. I do bring that.
Boom. That's what mommy says.
That's right. And yeah.
It's okay to be that way.
Yeah. Because I told you about the story at what happened at Wegmans. This.
Yeah. You got to share that with the listeners. Listen to this part.
I had this open house on Sunday, and we went to.
Great open house, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming, Dr. Lawrence. Thank you. It's great having you there. And just seeing you in your bubbly personality, everybody just gravitates to you. It's big energy. I got a Wegmans, and my daughter wanted to make a salad at the salad bar, and I said, okay, so I let her have the tongs, and I was watching her. I was filling up my bowl, and she was filling up hers, and all of a sudden, I just look up, and this woman is standing there with about four or five kids with her, and she looks at me, and she goes, your daughter just took a strawberry and bit into it and put it back. And I just looked at Karina, and she's just standing there. And I said, did you do that? Did you put that strawberry, take a bite and put a strawberry? And she's like, no, I didn't. And I said, Karina, I said, this woman said she saw, and my daughter's five, and she said she saw you take
do
a bite.
This.
Yeah, do this. And I looked at her, and she's like, no, Mommy, I didn't do that. And I looked at the woman, and she goes, well, my son saw her do it. And I said, what did you do? And she said, I go, where did you put it? And she said, I put it in my container. Here she closed her container, and there was the strawberry.
Bless her heart.
So I at that moment, I didn't know what... I had a nanosecond to react, and right at that moment, a woman walked by and said, "Let it go, let it go." She was standing there too, filling her point, and she just said, "Let it go." And she had to say it four times because she knew, being a protective mama bear, I was about to lay this woman out,
lay into the adult.
Yeah, and this woman just looked at me. She said, "Let it go, let it go, let it go." And by the fourth "let it go," I'm like, "Let's get out of here." And as we're walking away, the woman that's filling the salad bar says, are you sure she didn't use her fingers?
Let's definitely get out of here.
So,
well, you know, it's the assumptions and, of course, believing what your child said. And instead of, like, there's so many different ways that as a community we can approach one another in a more loving way.
That's what I want
to keep keying on. In a more constructive way.
Mm-hmm.
You're destructive and you're negative when you come across and accuse another woman's child of doing something rather than give them the opportunity to at least say, maybe that's not what happened.
And, you know, before that happened, I will say, just talking with you now, what flashed, when that woman said that to me, I said it loud enough to let her know, you better be right about this because I'm going to discipline her now in front of you because this is what you said you saw.
Right.
And because I stepped up to the plate and said, listen, if this is the truth, you're going to get disciplined right here because this can't happen.
Right.
But as soon as she saw me do that, she then says, my son saw her do
right.
it. So I'm wondering, what was really the truth there? So if you're going to step up and discipline someone else's child, you better be correct about it.
And not only that, but you were prepared to be the parent.
I was going to parent her. Absolutely.
Parent her and do the right
thing.
And that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Folks, I hope you've enjoyed today's topic. And, of course, Tracy and I, as we will be with you every Tuesday from 3 to 4 on the Empower Hour, we want to hear from you. So I know Tracy and I both have Facebook pages. You can let us know what you want to hear about, where you want to see us. Remember, we're going to be out in the community as well. The Empower Hour every 3 to 4. Trace, sign it off, baby. The power of now, right?
Power of now. Thank you, folks.
All right, folks. Have a good week.